time for Minds Over Matter. Dana Rodriguez and panelists match wits with listeners on the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Our telephone number is 415-841-4134 with your answers and questions here on Minds Over Matter.
Wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. Gotta be this or that.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I appreciate you giving me top billing, but you should mention that Jerry Nachman and Leah Garchick are here too. So, all right, there you go. Don't want it to make it sound like I'm the star or anything. And anyway, welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a great weekend, and I know Jerry did. He's eating the evidence of it right now before the police get here. And anyway, so we hope you had a great weekend, and we hope you can give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we hope you will call and participate, or at least listen. The number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. And we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, cooking, and just about everything else. So again, that's 415-841-4134. I would like to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. We are happy to hear get emails from any of our listeners, a comment or a suggestion or whatever you would like. We don't read them during the show, but over the course of the week, and it's always great to hear from our listeners. If you'd like to hear us online, you can do that anywhere in the known world just by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, I know one will be available soon after our show tonight at kalw.org, and some of our older shows are there too. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. Jerry Nachman passed a milestone today. It hurt a little bit, but not as much as a kidney stone. He's happy to get rid of it and move on.
Thank you, Dana. Well, Leah Garchick is glad that it's Jerry N's birthday because she's not too proud to glom onto the spoils. And I would like to thank the anonymous listener who dropped off a delicious carrot cake.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm this particular spoils I'm glomming onto were the lumps of frosting that have slid off the top of the cake onto the side. Mm. If life begins at 40, then our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, would like to wish Jerry Nachman a very happy 35th birthday.
Thank you, Dana.
All right. And we'll begin with the birthday boy.
Okay. Well, let's see. Of course, it was Oscar nomination week, so we'll have some questions about that. The Silver Lining Playbook's four lead actors were all nominated for an Oscar. What was the last picture in which this happened?
Oh, my.
Very well-known movie.
Can you give us how long ago it was, or like a decade or anything like that?
No more than that. I'd say maybe late 80s and early 90s.
All right. Do not know. I have to think about that.
Okay.
Over and over and over.
And there's this kind of a part two of this. This has happened 13 times in Oscar history. How many of these other films, of the other films, can you name?
Right. Okay. Mrs. Miniver?
Yes, 1942.
Right.
That's good.
And
who are the how many? Oh, you probably can't remember the supporting.
I think I can. I think there are actually two in supporting actress, Teresa Wright and Dame Mae Whitty, and then Henry Travers, I think, was nominated for Best Supporting Actor, and then Walter Pidgeon and Greg Garson.
Yeah. Okay. Any others you got?
I'd have to think about it.
Okay.
So, why don't you read that question once more?
Okay, the Silver Lining Playbook's four lead actors were all nominated for an Oscar. What was the last picture in which this happened? And this has happened 13 times in all. How many of these other films can you name?
All right. Leah, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. I thought you were challenging me to answer that.
No, I don't want to stop you from answering if you would like to.
Okay, 11, this is thank you to Bob Ecker's travel quiz. Let's to get a bell. Well, 11 United States were named after people. You each have three.
Well, Charles, states.
States.
States. Go ahead.
Well, let's see, this should be pretty easy. Wait a minute.
All right, you think about it. I'll say Washington, North and South Carolina.
Oh yeah.
Okay, that's it for you.
Okay. Oh, we get three each, okay.
Yeah.
Maryland?
Who is it named after?
Queen Mary?
No.
Yes, Mary Queen of Scots?
Mary Astor.
Mary Astor. another Mary, huh? Mm-hmm. Gee, do you know, Danny?
Isn't it...
has to be a queen.
William and Mary. Queen Mary.
She says not a Queen Mary.
It's not Mary?
It is a queen, but her name was...
Oh, her real name was Queen.
Mary Lynn.
let me see who else. Pennsylvania.
But you're out, aren't
no,
you?
No, I thought Danny got three.
No, he got okay. three.
You this
got
is three. Only my second.
Okay, Pennsylvania.
And
okay.
Maryland are my two so far. I get one more. Okay.
Maryland was named after Henrietta Marie.
Who's that?
Queen of Charles I.
Oh. Stay on the East Coast, Jerry. You're safer there.
I know. Well, Virginia must have been named after somebody. Named after Virginia somebody.
It was named after somebody. But not in a proper name sense.
Oh.
It's more of a nickname.
You be quiet. You already had yours.
Is that a nickname for Regina? No?
That means queen.
It does. Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Regina.
Well, I don't know what Virginia's a nickname for. I thought Ginny was a nickname. Queen Ginny. Okay, I don't know. Somebody can support
that. All right.
Okay, well, let's leave it out there.
Why don't you read the question?
Now we know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we have 8 states left named after... no, I'm sorry, 5. We have 6 states left named after people. Name them.
Okay.
And who they were named after.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, from Union City.
Hello.
I have a little correction. We're talking about cars made in California.
Cars named after places in California, right?
Oh, no, it wasn't, because the Beaumont was a Canadian Chevrolet. It was made out of a city in French Canada.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's a couple of questions. One is Oscar-related. Which director had 2 Oscar-winning feature films nominated, but one of them was beaten by the other?
Alfred Hitchcock.
No.
Well, yes, he had Rebecca and Foreign Correspondent both nominated for Best Picture in the same year, and Rebecca won.
But this one also produced both of these films.
Well, you didn't say that in the beginning.
They're both released in the same year, 1974.
Oh, 74. 74. Ooh, I'm always vague about the 70s. No, I don't know.
You don't know?
Nope.
Francis Ford Coppola's films that were nominated that same year were The Godfather Part 2 and The Conversation.
Okay.
The Godfather Part 2 won. Yeah, Best Picture.
All right.
And here's my second question. What animated feature film actually outgrows Disney's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs in its first year of release?
Well, there weren't many animated films that were feature length then.
Fantasia?
I thought his was the first.
But this is...
Well, it was the first film. It was the second film. It was for Disney by another producer.
You're thinking of Max Fleischer, The Gulliver's Travels?
Yeah, you're on the right track. It is Max Fleischer. What was the film?
But it wasn't Gulliver's Travels?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Hello, this is Nancy from Oakland.
Hi, Nancy.
I think I have an answer for a couple of the states.
Okay.
Virginia is named after Queen Elizabeth, the Virgin Queen.
Right.
Oh.
And which other one?
I think Maryland was named after James's wife, Mary.
No, if it's Virginia, it's West Virginia, too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, West Virginia, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't think of that.
No, Maryland is named, we've already got that one, Henrietta Marie, Queen of Charles the First.
Okay, Charles the First, cool. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Louisiana, but I'm...
Yes.
I'm going to guess that it's King Louis.
Yeah, Louis the 14th.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Louis.
Bye-bye. Okay. All right. I have some unusual cooking terms here. And I want you to tell me what they are. Okay. These could pertain to either food itself or how you make it. So, all right. Number one, coffin, as in coffin. Number two, bray. That is a verb, by the way, bray. B-R-A-Y. Number three, Endor, E-N-D-O-R-E. Number four, Marchpane, M-A-R-C-H-P-A-N-E. And number five is Sippets, S-I-P-P-E-T-S. So again, these could pertain to food itself or the way you make it.
Well, Marchpane must have something to do with bread.
No.
Leah would probably know.
No. So I'll just go through the list for you quickly more.
Okay.
Number one, coffin. Number two, bray, which is a verb. Number three, Endor. Number four, Marchpane. Number five, Sippets. Want to guess any of those, Leah?
Leah, I thought you'd knock all of these.
No. Is a coffin a shape of a baked thing?
Well, that's part of it. But it's not shaped like a coffin. But it has to do with shape a little bit, but it's not shaped like a coffin.
Okay. No, is marchpane related to marzipan?
It is. It's the same thing, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Very good.
Is that Sippets? How do you spell that?
S-I-P-P-E-T-S. Oops. All right. So,
some of these are implements or dishes.
Huh? Yeah, mostly they're
food.
They're directly food related. Though the bray is an action,
like to braise.
Yes, but yeah,
right. Not related to that.
It's not.
Okay.
And so coffin, bray, Endor, and Sippets are still left. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi, great. It's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Okay. Movies, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Is one of them the color purple?
No.
But certainly the other movie in which four have been nominated, All About Eve.
No.
Yes.
Not on this list.
Really?
No, not on this list.
Really?
No.
Well, that would have been Celeste Holm and Betty Davis and Gary Merrill? No.
No. Oh, that's true. No Best Actor. Yeah, no Best Actor there.
No, not All About Eve. That's
no,
three
you're
out
right.
of four.
That's three out of four.
Okay, states, Leah, how about Delaware?
Yes.
And
tell us who it was.
I'm sorry?
Tell us who it was named after, Spark.
Lord Delaware.
Right, Baron de la Noir.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Was named for?
Either George II or
yes.
Georgia on my mind.
No, George II, and there's one more.
How about North and South Dakota? Named after a Dakota Fanning.
No. No.
Okay. We're out.
All right. Thank you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
The movie I'm looking for that last was nominated for four categories was in 1981.
Okay. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hey. Going back to the car thing from last week.
Oh,
did
yeah.
Did you mention the Thunderbird?
Did I mention the Thunderbird?
No.
I don't think I did, no.
Oh, it's named after the Thunderbird Country Club in Palm Springs.
Oh, I did not know that. All right,
but that's
you.
A club. That's not a. It's not a place.
Well, it is a place.
Well, it's a place,
definitely
I guess.
Place.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. I thought you meant cities, actually.
Well, it's a. Who knows?
Okay.
But I played there once, and it was hot.
All right. I'll bet. Yeah.
And swank. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
And that refers to a question I asked last week about cars named after places in California. So I forgot that one. So, and Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. Well, more than 7,500 products, according to the U.S. Patent Office, bear the likeness of this iconic figure, the most reproduced in the world, more than Jesus or Elvis. Who is it?
Products.
A living person? Was once a real person?
No.
Products.
Lady Liberty?
No. That's a good guess. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a real person. You didn't say if it was male or female.
No.
Was it a religious figure?
I shouldn't say, but the answer is no.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the last clue.
It's not like, yeah, Jesus is macaroni and cheese kind of thing.
Buddha's and a whole lot of
Buddha's,
stuff.
Yeah, that's true. So this is on American products as well. So this is worldwide you're asking about,
yes,
but it's American.
It must be worldwide, I would guess.
But it's, do you recall seeing this on American products?
Oh, sure.
Okay, all right. And it's a person we're looking for, or a fictional person, but a person.
Okay. A fictional icon.
Fictional icon. Could it be the devil?
No.
Oh, that's a good.
That's a good.
Yeah, it's.
And a specific one, not like an angel.
No, that's specific.
Yeah. Young girl with her bathing suit being pulled. What a dog.
Paul Bunyan.
Oh, the camera, the Kodak.
No.
Coppertone.
Coppertone.
So
it's a specific character. It's not like a generic thing.
It's a very specific character.
And okay. It's human, not animal.
I didn't say that.
Oh. Well, dog.
Spot?
Yeah.
Spot?
Yeah.
What spot?
Dog?
Rover.
No.
A reindeer.
Horse.
No, those are generic.
All right. Okay. Just read the question once more, would you?
Okay, more than 7,500 products bear the likeness of this iconic figure, the most reproduced in the world, according to the U.S. Patent Office.
King Kong.
No. more than Jesus or Elvis. Who is it?
So I take it then this character is not trademarked because it's so widely used.
I don't know. It may have entered the...
Public domain.
Public domain.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I have a question, but I really am not sure that... I mean, I know the answer, but basically I'm trying to find out another answer. I'll shut up. basically, I watched a movie from 1949 this weekend, and what really surprised me was that it had no opening credits, you know, characters and titles and stars and all that stuff.
Right.
And I was wondering if there was anything before 1949 that had a movie that featured that.
That's actually interesting you should ask that because I forgot to put this in as a question, but I might as well use it now. The first movie that did that was The Magnificent Ambersons.
Well, that's so cool, because that's what I wanted to ask, because the thing I saw in 49 was The Portrait of Jenny, and I was wondering who did that before.
Right.
So, way cool, you answered my question.
Oh, okay.
Was it Ambersons the first or
It was just immediate narration that came on.
Oh, yeah.
And then at the end, there were spoken credits.
I remember those.
Yeah.
He used to do that. Wells used to do that.
Right. And then in Portrait of Jenny, they had spoken credits at the end, sort of, too, didn't they? Yeah.
On state names, I was kind of like inattentive. I was cooking, and was New York one of them?
When it was my turn. Yes, New York is, and that's the last one. But I kind of have gripes with that being in here because it's named after the Duke of York.
Exactly.
But the Duke of York was named after a place. So when you say New York, doesn't it refer to the new version of the place, like New Amsterdam,
rather than...
No, well, it was named after the Duke of York, but it was named after a specific Duke of York, who was James...
James Stewart.
James Stewart, who later became king... And so it was named after a specific person.
I thought he went into the movies.
But you're saying New York was named after York, England, not the Duke of York.
No, no, no.
It says it was named after James Stewart, Duke of York. Well, but then why would they have called it New York?
That's what I mean. It was named after York,
New Amsterdam,
York, England.
Who became James II? That one.
Yeah,
so,
but why would they?
I don't know.
It seems to me that it's named after the place.
Yeah, it was named after the place. You're right.
Sorry, Thomas. We didn't mean to step over you.
Okay. No, that's fine. I love it when you go like that. basically, on the film...
We're flinging food at each other, aren't we?
All that carrot cake. I want it.
There's plenty.
There's plenty left. Yeah, come by.
On the 13 films that are... I'm not sure if I get the whole thing, but I wanted to add a part for the Mrs. Miniver thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that Lucille Watson and not Dame May Whitty?
No, it was Dame May Whitty.
Oh, okay. I get her confused with another actress besides Lucille. Anyway, so here's my try for the 13 films with the actress thing. From Here to Eternity?
Yes. 1953.
Network?
No. Yes. Yeah. 76. Very good.
Streetcar Named Desire?
Yes, 51.
And what about Gone with the Wind?
No.
And what about that 81 movie? Was that Terms of Endearment?
No, I think that was later.
Okay, well, I got
it. It was around 81. I don't know.
I didn't hear them.
You did very well.
You did excellent.
Yes.
Got four.
Okay.
Three,
great hearing you guys.
All right, you too. Thanks, Thomas. Bye-bye. And, let's see. Leah, is it your turn? I think it is.
Okay. Tell me what countries are represented by these license plate codes. HR. DZ. And CL. I'll give you one more. K.
Just K.
Mm-hmm.
What countries?
Mm-hmm. You know, like if you see...
DZ, gosh.
Is K Kazakhstan?
No.
So these aren't necessarily letters you would find in the country's name. Absolutely. Sometimes.
Not necessarily.
Right. Okay.
Oh, well.
Well, like NL is Netherlands. And
right.
That is in the country's name, but sometimes they're not.
DZ, what would that be? Come on, Dana.
The Democratic Republic of Zimbabwe?
No.
Well,
that makes sense.
Try.
Makes sense. That's a good try. Yeah.
CL. I don't know. Nope. All right, why don't you go through the list once more, Leah?
Okay, let's hear what countries are represented by the following letters on the license plate. HR, DZ, CL, and K.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Yeah. Let me turn down my radio. This is John in Bernal Heights.
Hi, John.
And people have to be real people to have a state named after them? Well,
so far.
California is named after a fictional character.
Califia,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, these were real people.
Okay. Now, okay. I've got one more, and this is a stretch. New Jersey.
Because of the...
It's named... No. Well, the island of Jersey is according to one derivation, which was current among the British at that time, was named after Julius Caesar.
Who?
Who at least invaded, if not conquered, Britain. It's a stretch, but...
Jersey being...
Julius, some corruption of Julius?
No, of Caesar.
Oh.
I'm not going to, you know, go to Google
or something. That is a bit of a stretch, but...
You'll find a long analysis of the changes in the words and so on. But it's probably not the true etymology, but it seems to have been believed by the British at that time.
That should give you a...
century. whatever.
No, yeah. Just for that.
So, all right, as I say, it's a stretch. Now, my sidekick, Rick, here tells me that HR is Croatia.
Yes.
Okay. And then I've got a question.
Yes.
Last week, we had a group of distinguished gentlemen, I think they were all gentlemen, after whom beers had been named.
Right.
Who was Pliny the Elder? And why should we care about him? And what, if anything, did he have
to do
with
beer? Wasn't he a historian?
Historian.
He was the father of Pliny the Younger.
Yeah. No, no. He was a historian who wrote about the, was it the Punic Wars?
No.
No.
The Punic Wars.
The Punic Wars.
And he was not Pliny the Younger's father, as you might think. He was, in fact, his uncle.
Uncle Pliny.
He was the author of a natural history, not a chronological human history, but a natural history in which at least the people who make the beer up there somewhere up in the north claim that he mentions hops for the first time.
Is there Pliny
in
beer?
In a scientific manner. Again,
yes.
That's also disputed. We're not exactly sure what plant he was describing, but he has a much... what can I say? A much more dramatic ending to his life.
Well, you know much too much for the show.
For the audience? How did he die?
Pliny the Elder?
Yes. How did he die? Well, he was a naturalist. He was interested in all sorts of natural phenomena.
He fell into a volcano.
I thought he fell down the basement stairs.
I'm right.
He fell into a volcano, but he went to observe and also humanitarian mission, sort of rescue some people from the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. And he, very good, Leah. He seems to have inhaled all the poisonous fumes and so on and expired.
His nephew got lava in his ears.
No lava's in the ear, no. And then his nephew, Pliny the Younger, wrote... about this, maybe 30, 40 years later, he described the whole event.
Yeah.
That for most of, until really archaeology.
Isn't that how the phrase out of the frying pan and into the fire came about?
No. Pardon?
Isn't that the derivation of the phrase out of the frying pan?
Out of the frying pan into the fire, right? Could very well have been. Yeah. So, well, anyway, have a good evening. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, columnist Leah Garchuk. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. If you'd like to join us with a question or answer, the number is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Okay. So, two questions about Wheaties, the Breakfast of Champions. I'm going to recuse you from the first one, Jerry. All right. Mm. Who was the only fictional person to be on the front of a Wheaties box?
You didn't have to recuse me.
Well, I'm recusing you anyway.
I don't know.
Who is of all the real people that have been on the front of a Wheaties box, there's been one fictional person on the front. Who is the only fictional person to be on the cover of the front of a Wheaties box? And who is the only movie star ever to be on the front of a Wheaties box?
Well, God, I thought I can answer that one.
You can't answer that.
Is the fictional character male or female?
I'm not going to say.
Male?
I've already recused you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not guessing. I'm just asking questions.
So, who is the only fictional person to be on the front of a Wheaties box? And who is the only movie star to be on the front of a Wheaties box? Leah, do you want to guess on either of these?
Would the movie star be Ronald Reagan?
He did have some connection because he did...
Sportscasting.
He said sportscasting. It was sponsored by Wheaties.
Life Boy.
I thought because he played the Gipper.
That too, yeah.
Not, he didn't play the Gipper. He played Newt. Rockney?
Right, he did play Newt Rockney. But no, I don't think he was ever on the front of the Wheaties box.
So does this person, this actor, have some connection to sports? Through a role?
Slightly, yeah.
Through a role, okay.
Okay.
Also Reagan played Grover Cleveland Alexander.
Right. So once more, who was the only fictional person to be on the front of a Wheaties box? And who was the only movie star to be on the front of a Wheaties box? I will say that the movie star, that was in the 1950s. Okay. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Linda El Cerrito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. Okay, I guess on the license plate, K, is that Kuwait?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with the ranking of quality of living in the world. And there's a company called Mercer that's consults to business, and they rank all they have a list of the 20 top cities in the world as to quality of living. And I'll tell you what the first five are, and then I want you to tell me what the U.S. cities are that were ranked. Okay, so the top five.
Well, based on when you say top cities, mm-hmm. based on what?
Well, they have a number of criteria, political, economic, whether they're weather disasters, schools, healthcare, you know, all the big subjects.
Is it sort of, are they thinking in terms of if you're a typical middle-class person or something like that?
I think this is like they provide a service to companies who want to maybe set up a branch or something like that.
Okay.
So anyway, the top five on their ranking, one is Vienna, two is Zurich, three is Auckland, four is Munich, and five is Vancouver. So
all very expensive cities to live in.
Pardon?
Most of them are very expensive cities, I should
okay.
say.
There are seven U.S. cities on this list of 50, so I want you to tell me what the seven are.
Portland?
Yeah, I'd say Portland.
What was it?
Portland?
No.
Seattle?
No.
Are these large cities or medium-sized cities?
Yes, they're all pretty good size.
Did you say this is for quality of life?
Quality of living, they say.
San Francisco.
Okay, San Francisco is ranked there. There's one city that's ranked above it.
Minneapolis.
No, not Minneapolis. Was that a joke?
No.
Okay.
Santa Fe.
No, that's not one of them.
Austin.
No.
Well, okay.
You said Austin, right?
Yeah.
No, I said Boston.
Oh, you said Boston. Yes, Boston is one of
nice
them.
Nice try, Lee.
Yes, Boston is the third one after San Francisco.
It's unclear, though. When you say based on politics, I mean, what does that mean?
Well, okay.
I don't understand.
They're rather sweeping categories. So,
I mean, what's good politics to me may not be good politics
okay.
to someone else.
The economic environment, the cultural environment.
That's why you say Austin and Portland.
Schools, public services, transportation, recreation, which includes restaurants, theaters, movies,
all right.
et cetera, consumer goods.
Okay, policies. Okay, I got it. Okay, let's see.
Okay, so let's see. We have, there's Boston and
San Francisco.
San Francisco, all right. Mm-hmm. Is San Jose one?
No, I don't.
And they're all good sized cities.
Santa Barbara.
No, I think that's a little too small.
San Diego.
No.
I give up.
All right. Yeah. We're using up all the good weather cities.
No, I don't think they don't seem to care too much about that.
Oh, and Boston. Well, Boston, yeah, it's not that good a weather city.
However, the first one is Honolulu.
All right.
Have entered in there somewhere.
This is a Chamber of Commerce award, I think.
Yeah, okay. So it's Honolulu, San Francisco, Boston, then Chicago, Washington, D.C., New York City, and Pittsburgh. Those are the only ones.
Pittsburgh,
okay. Mm. Pittsburgh, how'd that get in?
Mm.
I have no idea.
Sounds pretty arbitrary, but anyway. Mm. It's
thank you, Linda. I'm sorry we didn't do better.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Why you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
This is another Bernal Heights resident, Whitney.
Hi, Whitney.
I have some answers, I hope, to the food questions.
Okay.
Let me regroup. They were Coffin, Endor. Go ahead.
Coffin, Bray, Endor, and Sippets.
Coffin, I believe, is to put a pastry lid on top of something?
Yeah, good enough. It's a pie crust, really.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Bray is to, what's the word I want, to crush?
Yeah, it's the grind in a mortar.
Oh, it is specifically
right.
Okay, that was a good one. Sippet, I believe, is like a small piece of cracker or toast.
Right. So it's sort of like an early version of a crouton, in a sense.
Yeah. So that one was right. And the last one was Endor, which I believe is to make golden or to brown.
It's to brush something with a egg yolk glaze, basically.
Gotcha.
Okay, good job.
I have a question for you guys, for your listeners to debate. In terms of food, the difference between a pâté and a terrine.
A terrine?
Yeah, T-E-R-R-I-N-E.
Oh, I thought I was thinking of the soup terrine.
T-E-R-R-I-N-E.
Yeah, not the soup version.
Is a terrine is packed in fat?
Yeah, but no. I'm going to take the answer off the air.
Okay.
You guys debate about it.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Pâté. Okay. Well, I almost was going to say use different, like there's a fish pâté, but not a terrine is more bird, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. They're both kind of pâtés, sort of, aren't they?
They ground up.
Yeah. Right.
Neither as good as chopped liver.
But. I think maybe a pâté is ground finer than a terrine. That a terrine is more coarsely ground.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
One of our listeners will know. And next call.
Hi, this is Sandra in West Portal.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi. I have a guest for the movie.
Yes.
For a movie. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Yes. 1966.
I only know maybe 2.5 of the people, and that's Liz and Dick, of course. And maybe the woman is Sandy Dennis?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then
George Segal.
George Segal was the man.
Right.
Oh, okay.
The young guy.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay, that's my contribution.
Very good.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, Jerry, I believe it's your turn.
Okay, I may have to recuse you from this, Dana. One good recuse deserves another.
Turnabout is fair play, I guess.
What two actors founded the Hollywood Canteen during World War II?
Mm. You might explain what the Hollywood Canteen was for people.
Well, it was where the servicemen could come by and dance with the...
Movie stars.
Movie stars, yeah. Leah, you have a guess?
No.
Did you hear it?
Yeah, two actors
okay,
have
okay,
founded
okay,
the
okay.
Yes, teacher.
Well, you look
founded
like...
the Holiday the Canteen.
Hollywood Canteen
in World War II. Okay,
yeah.
Very well-known actors.
Did you bring enough gum for everybody, Leah?
I was thinking of something like that. Very good, yeah.
All right.
You want to share it with the class?
Maybe you'd like to read that note to everybody.
And sit up in your seat as well.
Yeah, that's right. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Oh, states named after people. Did you mention North and South Carolina?
Yeah.
We did.
Oh,
we did.
That. Yeah. Oh, okay. That was her guess. Her question.
Bye.
Oh, thank you. Sorry about that. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Is that me?
It is you. Yeah.
I was just, I wanted to contribute to the most frequently seen icon, more frequent than Jesus.
Right, yes, uh-huh.
That was Mickey Mouse, right?
Mickey Mouse it was.
Oh,
very, very good.
Right.
Okay, that's all I have to say.
I didn't think Mickey Mouse was still that popular as an iconic figure.
Disney slaps their brand on everything, I guess.
They did, I guess.
Thank
okay,
you.
Mickey Mouse it is.
Speaking of which, we have a few minutes, 20 minutes left, so let's repeat anything that has not been answered yet. Jerry?
Well, I'm still looking for the answer to this. The Silver Linings Playbook film just nominated four of the lead actors for an Oscar. What was the last picture in which this happened? The year was 1981. And I'm also looking for some of the movies. This happened 13 times. How many of the other films can you name? Listeners have guessed Mrs. Miniver, Streetcar Named Desire, From Here to Eternity, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, Network, and that's it. So there's another 7 or 8 left.
All right. And
Leah. And also,
oh, I'm sorry.
What two actors founded the Hollywood Canteen in World War II?
Okay. Leah.
Okay, what is DZ? What code on the license plate does that, what country does that mean? What's CL and what is K?
And, all right, who was the only fictional person to be on the front of a Wheaties box? Who was the only fictional person to be on the front of a Wheaties box? And who was the only movie star to be on the front of a Wheaties box? The movie star was in the 1950s. I'm not going to tell you when the fictional person was.
Was the movie star in a famous movie about an athlete?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yes. That's, thank you. I didn't think you'd answer.
Was it Esther Williams?
It was Esther Williams.
Oh. Wow. Who did she play?
Very good.
Who did she play?
Well, she played the channel swimmer.
She played herself.
Gertrude Ederle.
Oh, she did. Oh.
But yeah.
Very good. Yes. Very good, Leo.
Yes. Esther Williams. Very good. So we're still looking for the only fictional person to be on the front of a Wheaties box. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi. Yes, you still need one more state for name that for a person.
No, but go on.
What did you have?
Rhode Island. Cecil Rhodes.
Oh.
No, not...
It wasn't.
It wasn't Cecil Rhodes or Cecil Rhodes. Of course, there was a country named after him, Rhodesia, but not Rhode Island.
Okay, and was DZ Germany for a state, for a country code?
Oh, no, it wasn't.
Very good. That's a good guess, though.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, Leah, I think it's your turn.
What did the National Sport Act of 1994 in Canada do?
The Sport Act?
Yep.
It banned misbehavior, you know, violent behavior at sporting events.
No.
Did anything to do with giving the same amount of money to women to play certain sports as
no
the men?
Good guess.
All right.
No.
All right. Why don't you repeat the question, please?
What did the National Sport Act of 1994 have to do?
Okay.
Did it make a sport like lacrosse its official sport? I think lacrosse is the official sport of Canada, or the leading sport.
Partially correct answer.
Partially, lacrosse, okay.
I think you're hurling or something.
Hmm?
No, lacrosse and not hurling, or
no,
whatever they call that?
No, lacrosse is, I think, part of, she said half of it.
Not hurling, but what's that called?
So there's another sport, too? They share the title of
hockey.
Canada's.
All right.
Okay.
And let's go
squash,
to a call.
Squash? No. Okay.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hi.
Hi, Sid. How are you?
Good.
Very good. So this man was called the Queen of Bithynia, Bithyna. And I'll give you a hint. An ancient man. He had many titles, including that. The Queen of Bithynia.
First cross-dresser.
No.
This man, you said?
He's a man. Yeah. Well, yeah, I always ask you interesting questions.
Bithyna or Bithynia? Bithyna.
Yes.
And you're saying who was it or why was it?
No, one second. Let me say it again. Bithyna.
Oh, okay.
Bithynia.
It is part of what is now Turkey, so if you know, but the ancient part of Turkey.
All right. And this person was known, this man, this was known
very
as...
Very famous man. Very, very famous man.
Why called the Queen? Can you tell us that? Is that that's the question?
That's why it's interesting. Should I give his answer or give it to the audience? I don't think the audience will get it, but
no,
he's that
so.
Famous. I think, it was Julius Caesar. He actually went there to do some business in that part of the world, and he fell in love, and actually he became almost married to the queen of that country, which was Nicodemus the Fourth. Who was the king of the country. And actually, they did have a romantic relationship. The other very interesting question, very quickly, there is only one modern country where a brother and half-sister can legally marry. Which country?
Well, that's a good
Not
one.
Full sister. Brother and half-sister. So and one of the parents have to be different.
Brother
where?
And half-sister.
Uh-huh. A brother,
yeah,
and, a
brother and, a half sister, and half-sister.
Can legally marry.
Legally married.
Is this a...
industrialized country?
Yeah.
Yes.
Not Egypt, is it?
No, no. Well, ancient Egyptians is common, but only between the pharaohs. It was not really common, although common people called the lovers sisters or brothers.
Okay.
If you look at the poetry, it would say my sister. This it really is lover, not his sister. But this is modern country, famous country.
Sweden.
Famous country.
Sweden.
Who said that?
Me, Jerry.
How did he know?
Because it's the most liberal, it's a very liberal country in Europe.
Did you? Okay, very good. It is Sweden.
Who
thank
said
you
that?
Okay.
Good job.
You don't know my voice after all these years, Eve?
Thank you, Jerry.
All right,
okay,
thank you.
Say it again. Thank you very much.
All right, bye. Bye. Okay, that was a weird
question.
Yeah, it was an interesting answer. I'm glad you got that. Okay. What was the first national consumable food brand to target and feature African Americans in their advertising? What was the first national consumable brand to target and feature African Americans in their advertising? It was a considerable success, this campaign.
Coca-Cola.
No.
Jake. Can't narrow it a little bit for us toward the end of the show?
Oh, I don't know how I can narrow it.
Well,
I mean, it's
consumable, though.
It's a well-known national brand.
Still around, and it was...
Oh, very much so.
Would you...
This is in the late 40s.
Is there an obvious reason it was targeting it?
Well, there's a... Yeah, there are definitely specific reasons, yeah.
Hmm. Oh. Well, if I say it, I'll be accused of being a
Swanson's
racist. I was going to say KFI, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
No, not Kentucky Fried Chicken. Okay. This is before Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, okay. Well, Swanson's, she said.
No, not Swanson's. What was the first national consumable brand? You know, I'm looking for a brand name to target and feature African-Americans in their advertising.
Oh, they featured them in the ads.
They
oh,
did,
okay. oh.
yeah.
Oh.
And this is in the late 40s.
Hmm. Newport.
No, not a cigarette.
Carnation Milk.
No. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. 4-1-4-1-3-4. You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Yes, sir.
How about Lipton tea?
No.
Because blacks drink a lot of tea. And
they do?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
that's an interesting guess.
The ones I've known.
I never knew that.
The ones I know, yeah.
Okay. Let's not get any deeper into this.
Some of my favorite tea drinks, yeah.
This is very dangerous.
Well, that's what I mean. Anything you say is going to get you in trouble.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Brian in Oakland.
Hi, Brian.
I was going to answer the question about the HR as being for Croatia, but can you tell me what does the HR represent?
Oh, darned if I know.
Home rule.
I don't know.
HR.
It's Croatia.
And what type of clothing has the name influenced?
Has...
Oh,
the name?
That's interesting.
What name?
Yes.
The name Croatia or the name that... The name Croatia itself.
Yeah, the Croatia... I'll just give you a hint. Croatia is the kind of anglicized version.
Okay.
Of what?
All right. And there's a type...
Of the name HR.
Of the name HR.
These are too hard.
I know. I learned this when I was visiting there. It's really a great place to visit.
Is it? It is. It's a beautiful place. I've been there too. Croatia.
Sure. Oh.
It's when you say it's influenced a name of is it like a generic kind of clothing?
It actually kind of goes through French, but it's something that when you'll hear the name, you'll understand it.
Like denim or something like that.
Exactly. You have to get the HR part because then it kind of falls in place.
Well, Leah must have the HR part.
No, I don't.
Oh, you
don't?
Oh, okay. HR.
Well, while you're mulling,
is the R for Republic?
Exactly.
Okay.
But what's the H is one of those weird things. It's, you know, it's part of their the Croatian language.
Is the H A like an? It's an H A D something.
It's H. Well, it's towards the end of the program. I'll just give it to you.
You better tell us. We're out of here.
It's Hrvatska Republika.
Oh, it was on the tip of my tongue. Yeah. Hrvatska. So then your Hrvatska hoodie, is what, that what you're talking about the clothes?
I don't know. But it was interesting. I heard that when I was there, that the particular type of troops at some point in, I don't know, 1600s, 1700s in France, had a particular type of necktie that became a cravat.
Cravat.
That translated as cravat.
Good. I heard that.
Oh. I was thinking may be related to balaclava. Do you know what that is?
Baklava.
No, balaclava. Oh.
Well, that's in the Crimea.
That's a type of dessert, isn't it?
No. It's a kind of helmet, a knitted helmet.
Yeah, yeah, right.
No, but it's because of the way they pronounce it. It comes out. They hear H R and we hear C R. That's why Croatian.
Right.
Anyways, is K Kosovo?
No.
Ah, okay.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Oh, by the way, is the fictional character Bart Simpson?
No, not Bart. So that's an interesting guess. No, not Bart Simpson.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Can I guess that at the end of the show?
At the end of the show. Okay. Yes.
This show is getting much too
erudite for you.
Much too deep, yeah.
And next call.
Talking about Serbo-Croatian.
Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
I didn't get on the show for that.
Are you there, caller?
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yes, Michael from Mill Valley. Was calling about states named after people, and did anyone mention Louisiana?
Yes, they did, Michael.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thanks a lot. And if you'd like to give us a call, you have a few minutes left. It's 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. All right, I have a radio question. Maybe Jerry would be interested in that. What was the first commercial for radio and the first commercial for TV were both from the same company? It's a well-known product. The company is still very much around today.
It was appliance? I was going to say like a...
It's a utilitarian product, yes.
Okay, that doesn't quite... Utilitarian.
But I wouldn't call it... Well, it's kind of a... It's appliance related, but it's not really... It's not like a refrigerator or anything.
Well, I was going to say an early sponsor of a couple shows was... Can't think, but I was going to say Motorola.
No, this is pre-Motorola. So the first radio commercial ever done and the first TV commercial ever done were from the same company.
Is it a food?
It's not a food. Utilitarian product.
A utilitarian product.
Right.
Oh. Kodak camera?
No. Mm-mm. And do you want to guess it?
Nope.
Okay.
No guess.
And we all have one, by the way.
Oh.
So.
Hmm.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Dave in SF.
Hi, Dave. Good to hear from you.
I have an answer for Jerry's question, the two people that founded the Hollywood Canteen.
Okay. Who are they?
Yeah. Betty Davis and John Garfield.
Very good. You got it. Excellent. That's right.
Dana, last week, when you gave the answers, I did not hear the answer to the mineral which the Treasury Department uses to spray on the currency.
That was not my question, but I do recall it was clay.
That's right.
I don't know if we even announced that, but I remember it coming up afterwards. It was clay. It was some sort of ground and sprayed on clay dust or something like that.
Clay is what is sprayed on the bill.
Right.
That's very good to know. I'm going to take a guess at the first commercial because I heard the very first cereal programs. Way back in the early 30s. Wrigley's Spearmint Gum.
And that's a good guess, but no, not Wrigley's Spearmint Gum.
H.O. Oates.
Nope.
All right.
H.O. Oates. That goes back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much. Good to hear from you. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Mind Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to do the first advertisement. Oh, this is Afia from Oakland.
Hi.
Is it Mrs. Buttersworth?
Oh, that's an interesting guess.
Mrs. Buttersworth, yeah, a good guess. I thought of that myself. I didn't say it.
No, this is a... Are you talking about the one, the question about the first commercial for radio and television?
No, the one directed at blacks.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. No, it's not Mrs. Buttersworth. No.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Butterworth,
sorry. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on. Are you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
I know the difference between a terrine and a pâté.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's very easy if you remember. Pâté means paste or dough. In other words, a pâté is wrapped in and cooked in a crust. And it can be fish or even vegetables or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And a terrine is... It's cooked in a terrine, in other words, in a dish. It can be, like, molded with, like, aspic over it or something. You know, it's very elegant. It's much more refined in texture than a pâté is.
Oh, right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Now you know as much as I do.
I doubt it. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
And let's see. So we had a different guess about pâté versus terrine, which is that pâtés are spreadable and terrines are sliceable.
Hmm. Well,
that might be.
That's just a guess. And as far as the fictional character on the Wheaties box,
yes,
these are also wild guesses. Hercules?
Not Hercules.
Popeye?
No.
All right. Well, then we're out.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
and
you.
Leah.
Hi. Thanks.
Popeye's a good guess.
Yeah, that is a good guess. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Lorraine in San Francisco.
Hello.
Hi, I wanted to guess on the Wheaties box, was it Bugs Bunny?
Not Bugs Bunny.
Not a character. And I guess in addition to the terrine information, it does, I was going by the Food Lover's Companion, and they had a, terrines also can be lined with pork and things like lard and bacon and things like that, but it doesn't have to be a crust.
Yeah.
Well, just because I'm a chef, I love to find out more information.
I thought it was the lard, the fat around it that determined it too, but apparently not. So, chef, is he right about that the texture of a terrine is finer than the texture of a pâté?
No, I think both of them can be country style also, where they can use larger.
Ground. Countryside right. is rough.
Yeah. Chunkier.
Right.
Yeah. Love food. Love your show.
Oh, thanks. I'd enjoy being lined with bacon.
I never had either one of those. They don't sound appealing to me, but
I've had pâté. Yeah. Yes, we're almost out of time here. One more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is James from Mission.
Hi.
And I have a question. I have a possible answer or a couple answers for the advertisement.
Right.
Would it be vacuum cleaner, like Hoover or Electrolux?
Is this for the African-American or the other, or the radio and television commercial?
Radio and television.
Okay, no, not a vacuum cleaner.
TV?
No.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much. Okay, time to clean up here. What do we got?
Okay, the Silver Lining Playbook nominated 4 lead actors for Oscar this week. What was the last picture in which that happened? And the answer is Reds, 1981.
All right. And Leah.
The other movies to do that were My Man Godfrey, For Whom the Bell Tolls, Johnny Belinda, Sunset Boulevard, Bonnie and Clyde, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, Coming Home, and the others who were guests.
Okay.
13 and all.
Yes, Leah.
DZ is Algeria, CL is Sri Lanka, and K is Cambodia.
Hmm. Okay. What was the first national consumable to target African Americans in their advertising? That's Pepsi Cola.
Oh, and hockey and lacrosse is the other sport.
Oh, hockey and lacrosse. Okay. The first radio commercial and the first TV commercial were both from the Bulova Watch Company.
Oh, yes.
I said Coke, didn't I?
You did say Coke.
Yeah.
It's Bulova Watch time. Okay. Anyway, if we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Our Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was author Jerry Nachman. From the San Francisco Chronicle, Leah Garchik. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Kevin Vance for handling the board and the phones. And, Bobo, our thanks to you for taking the time.